Kedoshim Shlishi, chapter Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chav Gimel, chapter 19, verse 23. The verse continues with the laws that were given over at that gathering that Hashem said to Moshe to gather the entire Bnei Yisrael and giving him over the main halachas. And the Pasuk says that the Chisavoyu El Ha'oretz. Now, when you come to the land, and that means when they come to the land of Eretz Yisrael after their journey in the desert, and sometimes when the Pasuk uses that, the Rashi would say that he gave them the notice that they will come to Eretz Yisrael and to look forward to it, and Hashem is giving them the halachas, what takes place in Eretz Yisrael. But here's the Chizavoyu al Ha'aretz. And the Pasuk says, Unitatem kol eitz machol, and you will plant all food trees. Trees grow different things, but this we're talking about a tree that produces food, which is a fruit tree. So the Pasuk says that varaltem or losoi, you should cover its covering or stuff its stuffing. Now, an orlo, as we know, is like a cover, like by a bris. You know, an orl doesn't have a bris. When you remove the orla, you remove the cover, you remove the blockage, and you reveal. So that is the orla. So over here we're saying, va'araltem orlosa, you should cover its cover, or you should stuff its stuffing, meaning that you should not, you should keep it covered, and not use espirio. You should sort of keep a lid on it. When the lid is open, one can take what's inside. If you keep a lid covered, then it can't take. So you should keep it covered espirio. You should keep the lid on the fruit, meaning not use, not the benefit of the fruit, for shalosh shonim, for 3 years. Rashi says from the time that you plant it, for the first 3 years, from the time of planting, any fruit that grows during those 3 years, those fruits shall not be used. They should be covered and undercover, meaning not to benefit, as we'll see in the Rashi. Shalosh shonim yielochem arelim. For 3 years, it should be to you stuffed, closed, meaning not permitted to benefit. Lo yeochel, it cannot be eaten. Zokt Rashi, that va'araltem or losi means va'atamtem atimosa. You should close its closing. You should stuff its stuffing, meaning yehei otum, it should be stuffed, v'nistam, and closed, milahanes memenu, from benefiting from it. And from here we see that the language of arlosi, as Rashi says, it's more than lo yeochel, which the pasuk says later on. Lo yeochel means just it shall not be eaten. Doesn't specifically talk about hanoe or things that bring la'achila, which would mean hanoe in the pasuk, as we can interpret lo yeochel, not eating, or anything else that brings to eating. But over here, basically, we learn out because it says varaltem or losi, that it should be stuffed, closed, and that means milahenis menorashi says that even from benefiting, not only eating, but not even to benefit from these fruit. Now the pasuk says that for 3 years it should be to you stuffed. Now, when does these 3 years begin? Zakhtarashi, sholish shonim yulachem arelim, for 3 years they should be to you stuffed, meaning not benefit from them. Me'emasai moina loy, from when do you start counting these 3 years? Possibly one can think that the 3 years should start once the fruit starts to, the tree starts to produce fruit. So Rashi says no, that mishas niti osei, that we start the counting of the 3 years when you plant it. It doesn't matter when it starts producing fruit, but after 3 years from the planting, then the fruit is okay, but it's only the first 3 years from the time that you plant it. But what happens with the fruit, let's say that grow within the 3 years, and after the 3 years, am I permitted to use those fruits? Rashi, Yochel, you might think, if he hides the food that the fruit that grew within the 3 years, la'achar sholishonim yehei mutar, so maybe after 3 years it should be permissible Because especially following the previous statement that we said, that we counted from the time of the planting, so it's not really so much about from when it produces the fruit, it has more to do with the planting of the tree. Maybe it looks like the first 3 years, independent of the tree, we don't want you to use the fruit, so if you save the fruit for later on, maybe it should be okay. But Rashi says, Talmud Loimer, the Pasuk says, Yihyeh. Pasuk could have said, Sholish Shonim Lachem Areilim, why Yihyeh should remain, meaning, Bahavi Yosu Yehei, that it remains stuffed as it was during those 3 years, and fruit that grows during these 3 years, is first 3 years from the planting, are prohibited forever. Pasuk Chav Dalet, so the Pasuk continues, Uvashon HaRevis, on the fourth year from the time that you planted. So then, yiyeh kol piryoy, then all of its fruit, the fruit that comes in the fourth year, kodesh, it is holy, hilulim laHashem, it's a praise to Hashem. The Pasuk doesn't specify over here, besides saying that it's holy, but what does the holy mean? What do you do with the holy fruit? And what's the procedure, and what does it mean that it is a praise to Hashem? And Rashi will bring down from the Chazal that the holiness is the same level as the holiness of Maaser Sheni, that is the special tithes which is given in some years of the Shemitah that we bring up to Yerushalayim, either the fruit himself or we exchange him for money, in which we and we bring up the money, and then we exchange it for back into food in Yerushalayim. So the same thing is that all the produce that comes on the fourth year from these trees, on the fourth year from the planting, needs to be done the same thing, that it's Kodesh, and you have to either bring them up themselves to Yerushalayim, or redeem them for money, bring up the money to Yerushalayim, and that is all Hilulim LaHashem, to praise Hashem, as the procedure was by the Maaser, that one would say special prayers of Shvach and thanking Hashem for giving him the land. Let's see the Rashi. Yiyeh kol piryoy kodesh. All of the fruit should be kodesh, to be holy. Now there's actually an esnachto here, ubashon harviz yiyeh kol piryoy. So it should be all of his fruit. It's almost, I don't understand exactly. It's not a stop. In Rashi, it says, Yeh kol piryei kodesh, or Yeh kol piryei kodesh ilulim lashem. Then there would be no stop at all, but I'm not sure exactly. But Rashi says, Yeh kol piryei kodesh, what does it mean? It should be holy. Holy what? Look, Rashi, kimaiser sheni, that the holy over here means that we have to treat it like Maaser Sheni, which over there too, by Maaser Sheni, Shekosuv Boy, over there too, when the Pasuk talks about Maaser Sheni later on, in Perik Chav Zayin, Pasuk Lamed, the Torah says, V'chol Masar Ha'oretz, the Maaser of the land, and that talks about Maaser Sheni, V'goymer, the Pasuk says, Kodesh LaHashem, that it's holy LaHashem. So basically, in the Pasuk, when it says, Yiyeh kol piryei kodesh, it should be holy, just like the Maaser Sheni. So now you want to know, What is the Maaser Sheni? So we know what the holiness is here. So we say that my Maaser Sheni, just like Maaser Sheni. Now the Maaser Sheni is brought in the Shemitah cycles. That's a 7 year cycle. So the first, second, fourth, and fifth years, we have Maaser Sheni. Sometimes you substitute the Maaser Sheni for Maaser Ani. The Pasuk in Devarim, in Re'eh, in Perik Yudalet, the Psukim Chabbeis Ruchabov, over there we learn out from the Psukim what is the different Maiseris that we bring. So sometimes instead of the Maaser Sheni, we give Maaser Ani. That's another tithes from the grain that grows. So, but the Maaser Sheni, we treat this fourth year of the growth of the tree like the Maaser Sheni. So what do we do over there with regards to Maaser Sheni? Maaser Sheni, Ein Nechel Chutz L'Chaimis Yerushalayim. You're not permitted to eat it outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. Has to be in the boundary of Yerushalayim. But there is an exception, Ela B'Pidyon, but only through redemption. You could eat it outside Yerushalayim if you redeem it, the fruit, and you exchange it for money, and then you take this money too. Avzeh Kein, This is the same way that you can redeem it, then you can eat the fruit outside and then bring up the money to Yerushalayim. And Rashi doesn't elaborate, but the money itself, as we know, you take the pigeon. What do you do with the money? You bring it up to Yerushalayim. So eventually, the money ends up in Yerushalayim. The person ends up with the money and buying the food in Yerushalayim. So this item that the fruit is kodesh, that you don't eat it outside of Yerushalayim, you bring it up, is hilulim l'Hashem hu. This, I think, to bring it up, it's not just you bring it up to Yerushalayim like the fine place to eat and that's it, but that's not just that, but it's shenoyse shom, because the reason you bring it up there is l'shabech l'halal l'shamayim, that is done to praise and to give a thanksgiving or a halil to Hashem, to the heavens, to Hashem for giving you that. So it's not just kodesh in the sense that you have to eat it there, but it's there for hilulim that brings you to praising Hashem. Pasik chofei uvashona chamishis, and on the fifth year. So after the fifth year from the time of planting, then you eat the fruit. Basically, there is no restriction on the fifth year. And now the Pasuk adds, and the Pasuk says, Lehoisif lochem tvuosoi, to add to you its produce, that the tvua, this mitzvah, doing this mitzvah, as we described before, is in order that this will add to you the tvua, the produce, that the produce will grow a lot more than it did previously, as Rashi is saying, that this is sort of the Pasuk telling you that notwithstanding that we Torah told you not to use the fruit, so one can argue and say, okay, I'm losing out a lot because of the mitzvah. The Torah is telling you, no, actually it's going to add to the produce and it's going to make a lot more. And the Pasuk continues, as Rashi will teach, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am God, your God, I promise and I am trustworthy to what I said, to this commitment that for keeping the mitzvah, you're actually going to find that the produce will be more in the fifth year. Zokterashi, lohoisiv lochem tvuosoi. Zokterashi, hamitzvah hazois shetishmeru, this mitzvah that you are keeping. This mitzvah, it's not a single mitzvah, it's a double, it's a mitzvah that you're keeping in this tree, but that's the 3 years and then the fourth year. So you're keeping this mitzvah, lohoisiv lochem tvuosoi. This is going to be to you to add to you for your produce. Shabbischoro, for as a reward, is le, that is two. Shabbischoro mevorich lochem peres anetia, I will bless for you the fruit of the planting. And not only will you not have a loss, but it's actually going to be a blessing to more. Hoye Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Rabbi Akiva would say that sort of it comes out that this pasuk is not really telling us here any new halacha or any new conduct, but rather is giving us a reassurance, is giving us telling about the blessing. So Rabbi Akiva said about this pasuk that Dibra Torah keneged Yetzahara, the Torah here was talking towards one's evil inclination, and Shelo Yemer Odom, because the evil inclination, and that is the person saying through the evil inclination, Hare Arba Shonim Ani Mitztar Bechinom. For 4 years, I am pained with this in vain. Now, it's a little bit surprising. Rashi says 4 years in vain. Well, the fourth year is not really in vain. The 3 years, maybe that he's working is in vain. He can't have the fruit. But the fourth year is not in vain, okay? He can't use it just normally, but he can use the fruit and everything else, bring it up to Yerushalayim and everything else. But Rashi quotes here that 4 years, he's mitztar b'chinom. To look in the lashon a little bit, chinom lefikach. Therefore, Rashi says nemar. That's why the pasuk says lahoisif lochem tvu osoi, that to add the tvu. So this is the Torah is trying to tell you not to yetzahara, not to get you, and not to persuade you, because Hashem is going to bless you and give you the additional produce in the following year. Ani Hashem. Find similar things with shvi shmita in the. Later on, with regards to the blessings that Hashem says, Le Nesat Lachem Birchosi. Ani Hashem, so the Pasuk concludes here, Rashi doesn't bring down the word Elokeichem, and again, we have Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem the whole time. Rashi comments many times, but in this case, Rashi says, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem HaMavtichach Al Kach, I am the one that promised this. V'ne'emon Lishmer Haftachosi, and I'm trustworthy to keep my promise. I'm promising you, L'hoisu Lachem Tvaosai, and I am worthy that you should trust me that I will keep my promise. The Pasuk now continues different halachas, and the Pasuk Chavav begins with the halacha loy soichlu, don't eat al hadom, on the blood. What exactly does it mean not to eat on the blood? So Rashi will explain, Rashi brings down, there's many different drushes that we learn out from this Pasuk, but the two drushes that Rashi brings down is that it is prohibited to eat a korban, those korbanas that besides the oila, which the person, the human, the kohanim have a part in, sometimes the bailim, but you cannot eat it al hadom while the blood is still not sprinkled on the mizbeach. That's one thing that Rashi brings down, and then Rashi also brings down not to eat the blood, not to eat the meat of a regular animal, not talking about kochim, while the animal is still in convulsions and it still has the blood in there, not to eat it. We'll see in the Rashi. Further, the Pasuk says, Loi si nachshu, not to go by doing nichush, by guessing and using certain signs that take place as indicators to what's going to happen to him. People, Rashi will bring down, will say that if a certain animal, the weasel or a bird, goes on this side, this will happen or that will happen. If this bread falls out of his mouth, we'll see in the Rashi. So that's not permitted to use these nichush, these guessing and attributing these things to things that happen in one's life that don't have a logical connection to what will take place. And also the similar thing is v'lois oinenu, and not to give certain times to say that a certain time is good for certain things and certain times are not good for things. That's also prohibited from this. What's with the Rashi? Pasuk Chavav. Rashi, not to eat the blood. There are many different faces, many different interpretations that this verse has been expounded in the tractate Sanhedrin on Daf Samach Gimel Amad Aleph. And Rashi brings down the number one. One of the things Rashi brings down is Azhara, that this is a warning, Shelo Yoichal Mibsar Kochim, that one shall not eat from the meat of kochim lifnei zrikas domim, before you actually sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. So first, before you can eat the kochim, even after you shechted, you can't eat the meat. The kohanim or the bailim can't eat the meat before you do the sprinkling of the blood. Now there is a positive mitzvah brought down in Devarim, in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Chof Zayin, in which the Pasuk says in a positive way, V'dam zvochecho yishofeich, and then the Pasuk says, V'abosar toichu, that first you must pour the blood on the mizbeach, and then you can eat the meat. But this is a prohibition, that's a say, but this is a prohibition of leisoich la'al adam. Further, Rashi says, V'azhore la'oichel mibheima schulin, this is also a warning for somebody, meaning a prohibition against eating from a unconsecrated animal, a behemoth chulin, terem sheteitzei nafsho, that means before her soul fully expires. That means after you shecht, there is still a soul left in it, it's still convulsions, the blood is still there. So al hadam, while it's not yet fully dead, then you cannot eat the meat. And this is different than the prohibition of Eiver Minachai, which means when there's a living animal and there's just a limb that has been detached from the animal, not to eat it. That's Eiver Minachai, that's a different prohibition. But here we're talking about, it's even after the Shechita, but we're saying that as long as the animal's soul hasn't completely left, it is not left because there's still dam there, is lo yiseichlu. Rashi doesn't detail, but it says va'oid harbe, there are many more in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara brings down several other halachas over there that, for example, there is a mitzvah to make a meal for the mourner after burying the dead. So you make a meal that's called you mevarin, that sudas havroa, which you eat food over there. And basically, the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Doisa says that if one was killed by Bezdin, lo yisoichlu, you don't make sudas havroa al hadom, on the blood. I mean, blood here is references to being put to death by Beis Din. Or Rabbi Akiva says that a Beis Din who has convicted somebody to death at that time, Beis Din would not eat that whole day. Lo yisoichlu, he would translate, don't eat at all, al hadam, when you convicted somebody for somebody's blood that you have condemned to death. And further, Rabbi Yochanan says that a ben Seder u'moider who is put to death for eating like a glutton, and where do we find a prohibition? And ancient Akim him mazhirim, he also learns that it comes from this pasuk of lo yiseichlu al hadam, not to eat al hadam. Look at the Gemara exactly, how does it relate to the word hadam? And then there's other things that we learn out in other places from this pasuk. Anyways, but Rashi just hints to them by saying v'oid harbe, there is many more other inyanim that we learn from this pasuk. Then the pasuk continues and says lo tenachshu. We have to figure out the order, how, what the connection between these different halachas that brought down the same sukkim. Lo tenachshu, not to do the guessing. Zok Rashi ki goin elu, this would feel like those people that hamenachashim bechulda ubeoifis, they put their guesses on the behavior. They do their actions based on the behavior of a weasel or birds. If the weasel goes on the right or goes to the left, the bird, that means that it's going to be lucky. Or if it goes to the left, it's not going to be lucky. Or pita is a good thing or a bad thing. Or pita noflo mipiv, if his bread falls from its mouth, from his mouth, he was eating and he dropped it, he says that's a bad sign. Or tzvi hifsikei baderech, or a deer ran in front of him, he's going in one direction, and a deer runs in front of him, and that would, if he takes that as a sign of things to happen, that is called nachash, nichashu, and the Torah says there is a prohibition against nichash, loit nachashu. The pasuk further says, Rashi explains, v'loit to'oinenu, which is a similar thing of using, instead of using events that take place, in this case we're doing set things and saying that don't be basing things on a certain times and saying times that are good or bad. This is loisoy nenu. Zakrashi loshun oinois vishois. That's a language of times, an hour, and periods, certain times. Shoimer yoim ployni yofel lahaschim malacha. This day is good to start the work. Shah Ploinis Kosha Lotzis. So they're both times and hours. And hours, we would say, well, this is a difficult hour to leave and go out. This is from Sanhedrin, Samachemet Beis. That is the idea of Leiseinenu. It's interesting that in the Gemara, I believe it's brought down the Gabe with regards to giving out money like a Motzei Shabbos. Some people have the custom on Motzei Shabbos not to spend money because, sort of, if you spend money on Motzei Shabbos, it shows that the whole week you'll be spending. But the Gemara seems to say that that was something which it is okay, and this is something which is connected to times. We also definitely know that there is Yimei Zgula, days for Zgula, for doing, even we have the whole month of Adar, is a month of an Oina that a person will be successful in his, but there is differences that need to be, you know, go into details exactly in what situations and what circumstances. Continue further with the psukim, with the halachas, the special halachas, the full the kedoshim and pasuk of Zayin. The pasuk talks now about loy sakifu paas roshchem, not to make a full circle and by cutting down the edges, the payas, the corner of the hair of your head. Pa'as is the peya, is the corner of Roshchem, that is the hair of the head. That specifically refers to what we leave payas today. To take a haircut in a way, technically if you would run a line at the beginning of where the hair starts and you want to make a full circle, then to in behind your ears and going around and around, those two payas are the one that interrupt the circle. So he's telling you not to cut down the payas, the corner, and that way you'll make sakifu. Sakifu, you make a circle of the corner of your hair of your head instead of having the hair interrupting that circle. By cutting down the payas, that you can't do. And also, veloy sashchis, and you cannot destroy eis paas zekonecha, the corner of your beard. As we'll see in Rashi, there are basically five corners in the beard, and either one of these corners, one is not permitted to destroy, and exactly the destruction, how it takes place, in halacha there is various views, but in the lashon of sashchis, of destruction, means that in a way that derech hashchosa, but we'll see in the Rashi a little bit more, but the pasuk disallows basically removing the corners of the beard in with the loy sashchis. This is the Rashi. Pasuk Chavzayin Rashi. Loy sakifu pa'as roishchem. What does that mean? So the Rashi, ze hamashve. That means that he straightens out, he makes the same tzedo'ov, those are the sides, that's the side where the payas go down, and the bone that goes down in the front of your ear, in between your eyes and your ear, you have the payas. But those corn, those are the tzdoim, those are the two sides. And if he straightens them out so that it's lachurei oznoi, to what goes on in back of his ear, we're talking about the spot, the back of the ear, where there is no hair, the hair line is higher up, but we're talking right behind the ear, and also lepadachta, into his forehead. So, in other words, he removes that payas all the ways, so that there is now, turns out, v'nimtza hekef roishoi ogul soviv, that his head, this circumference, this the surrounding, this for his head is a complete circle. There's no interruption from the payas in this side. And although there is hair that is from his head that can, when the hair grows long, that hair will come down, you know, behind his ear and everything else. But he's saying, we're talking about where the hair comes from, shalachore oznov, because on the top of the back of your ears, there's no growing hair behind the directly behind the ear, because the ikre sare, that is the root where the hair grows from. Of course, if the hair grows long, it'll fall to behind the ear too. But the ikre, the root, the place where the hair grows, is that's lemailo, that's higher mitzdov harbe, that's higher. Much higher than the sides that he just cut down. So that circle, it wouldn't be a straight circle if not for cutting down these sides. And that's what he does. He makes that leisakif. This was, the Torah prohibited this kind of haircutting, because this was also a kind of a haircutting in which the Goyim, the other people, did, and this Torah prohibited this kind of a haircut. And further, the Pasuk says that also not to destroy Pa'as Zekonecho. The Torah uses actually a singular language, because any corner of the beard would be a violation for the prohibition. And we'll see, since there is five corners, then there's actually five prohibition, because for each corner that you remove, that you violate, you are transgressing another prohibition. We'll see the Rashi. Pa'az konecho, the edges of your beard, Zokta Rashi, that is the referencing of Soif Hazokin. That's where the beard ends. And Gvulov and its boundaries. So it's not just one beard, but rather the edges of the beard and its boundaries. Behein Chomish, and these are actually five of them. You have Shtayim B'chol Lechi V'Lechi. Each cheek has two corners. And those are the two corners, lemailo etzel harosh. It's on the upper cheek, by the head. That spot, shehu rochev, over there, where it's wide. So, almost like one is almost next to your eye. That's the upper part of the cheek, where is an edge, one edge, and they're both towards the head. Meaning not towards the bottom, but towards the head. So one is like right almost close to the eye on the top, and the other one is on the other side, which is right underneath your ear, in that corner over there. These are two corners for the right cheek, and same thing too for the left. And then you also have one on the chin, achas lemalo lemata besantori. That's the chin. That's one is over there. So these are the five corners. That's the mokim chibur shnei lechaim yachad. That where the two cheeks combine to the bottom. That's where the santer is. That's where the chin is, and that's where the fifth corner is. Pasuk Chaf Ches continues with the prohibitions. It says here that the viseret lo nefesh, that's a when a nefesh, when a person dies, there used to be the a custom that the Amoraim, that what they would do is they would scrape, they would cause themselves a wound as a mourning for the person that died. So the Pasuk says, Viseret, and that's scraping, that wounding yourself, la nefesh, for the soul, loy sitnu bivsarchem, you shall not place in your flesh. Further, uchesoivas kaka, that is a writing of engraving, that's a tattoo, a writing which is engraved into the body, leisitnu b'chem, you shall not place on yourself. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Pasuk says, and over here, Rashi explains, V'seret lo nefesh, Rashi says, Kein darkom shel Amirayim. This is the way, the custom of the Amirayim, Lies misartin besorom, that they would scrape their flesh, kshemes lames, when a person died for them. So, apparently, the pasuk specifically says that you can't do this sirita lo nefesh, it's to sort of mourn for a person who has died. But Rashi brings down that this was the nature, not Rashi doesn't just say that the fact that seret lenefesh, that it means that kshemeis meis, you can't do seret, but Rashi says kein darkom shel Amirayim. It almost looks like that Rashi was trying to tell us why the Torah prohibited it, why the Torah had to tell this, because this was sort of a custom. And the question is this also, Rashi didn't say this with regards to leisakifu pas roshchem, which is also a form of a person, the way he his appearance and his body. And Lesashchis says Paz Konecha. Rashi doesn't bring down over here, but it's I'm wondering if Rashi over here is also trying to tell us that's the reason why Seret Lenefesh Lo Yisitnu. Maybe Rashi is trying to answer why not just say Viseret Lo Yisitnu. Maybe that's Rashi's problem. Viseret Lo Yisitnu Bivsarchem. Why does the Torah add this stipulation, v'seret lo nefesh? And that is answered because the Amirayim, this general seret, itaka doesn't apply, but this was the minhag of the Amirayim, and we can understand because this was an expression of sadness, of accession of mourning, and they caused themselves the wounds. Maybe that's why. But in any event, Rashi Brink explains what is the meaning of k'sovis kaka, an engraved writing, tattoo. Zakrashi k'sav, k'sovis kaka means a writing hamichuko, which is engraved, v'shakua, and it's sunk in. Such a writing on the person, the human, that is engraved and sunk in, she'eini nimchak la'olam, that never gets erased. Because the way it's done, shemikakoi, b'machat, that you stick it in, you cut in with either a needle, with a needle v'hu mashchir, and then when you put the ink, is mashchir lo'ilam, it stays dark forever, it never erases. So that is a tattoo which the Torah prohibits. The word uksoivas kaka, we're talking about sticks in, uksoivas, the word kaka, a stuck-in writing, which is an engraved writing. So Rashi, kaka is loshin, it's the same language as the pasuk we find, v'hoika oisom, that was the pasuk in Bamidbar, Perik Chof Hei, pasuk Dalit, which Hashem says to Moshe to take the people who sin, that worship the Baal Pa'or, and they should hang them up in front of everybody. So it says over there, v'hoika oisom. We also find the language in Shmuel, Beis Chof Aleph Yud, it says V'hoikainum, that is when the Givonim telling David that they should give them seven people of the sons of Shaul and to hang them, they use Lashon V'hoikainum. So why do we use the Lashon when you hang people V'hoika Isam or V'hoikainum? He says the reason is because Toichvin, how does they hang them? Toichvin Eitz Ba'aretz, you stick a wood into the ground, and then you hang them on top of them. So when you do that in them, it seems v'nimtzu mechukim utchuvim bekarka. It turns out that these people who are hanging as if they are stuck in the ground. That's what we call them hoika. Hoika, stick them in into the ground. I mean, through by means of this of the tree, hoikainum. And that's pur point belaz. And therefore, kaka means to stick in a writing that is stuck in and engraved a tattoo. Leisitnu b'chem ani Hashem. Rashi doesn't explain here why the pasuk uses here again ani Hashem. Pasuk chavtes Pasuk says, "Al techalil es bitcha, do not desecrate your daughter, lehaznoisa, to give her over for relationships, not through marriage." A father is entitled to betroth his daughter to a man and marry her off to a man, but the Torah tells him, but he is not entitled, he shall not desecrate her to give her over just to have relationships, not for the purpose of kiddushin to that man. The Torah says, don't do that to Laznoi, so that the land should not turn away from you. As Rashi will explain, if the world, the Umol Haaretz Zima, that the land will be filled with Zima. Zima is promiscuity, lewd. The land will be full with lewd behavior from this kind of behavior. But the Torah says that v'leisizne ha'oretz, zinus means to turn away, like a woman who's mezaneh, she turns away from her husband and elsewhere. So the land, as Rashi says, will also act in a znus way, in a turn away way, that you plant over here, but it'll grow elsewhere, and not in this place. So we'll see Rashi. Pasuk mem tes Rashi, chof tes Rashi, al techal les bitcho las noise, zogt Rashi, b'moyser bito yapnuyo libiyo shaloy l'shem kiddushin. We're talking about one who gives his daughter, who is unmarried, for relationships, not for the purpose of kiddushin. Purpose of kiddushin is okay, that's a right that the father is given to his to the father, but not to do znus. But it is naharet, so that the land should not be mezane. If you do so, the Torah is telling you the punishment haaretz mezane es pedeso lasoi som b'mokem achar. The Torah, the land will also turn away its fruit, just like the woman turns from her husband to another man, the fruit will turn away. Lasoi som b'mokem achar v'lo ba'aretzchem, to do it elsewhere and not in your place. And the Rashi brings v'chein hu oimer. There's also another pasuk that says that what happens is from znus. The pasuk says v'imonu rivivim v'goimer in Yirmiyahu gimel pasuk gimel. Over there, the pasuk says that v'imonu rivivim metzach isha zoyna hoyloch v'goimer. V'imonu rivivim means that rivivim is a reference to the drops of rain that come down, that's called the revivim. So by monu revivim, the reason why the drops of rain is removed, that is because, which means the rain and the produce, that is for the sin of znus, that's why the rain stops and there's no growth of fruit. So similar to what we say that the fruits don't grow, that they mezanedur elsewhere, not here, we find that because of the aveira of znus is vaimonu revivim. Now, it's interesting though that over here the pasuk specifically attaches this to esbit chol haznoi, so not the regular znus, which is what the pasuk over there in Yirmiyah talks about. Also, the idea that the Torah gives the penalty of over here, like tis na'aretz, but sometimes the Torah doesn't. Previously, we have all these prohibitions. The Torah doesn't say what will happen if you do. It seems almost that because the father has rights over his daughter to be given to the Kedushin, is almost tempted to give her also not for kiddushin. There's a special need to say that v'leitiz na'aretz, and a special warning for this. We have to look into this further. Weiter, the pasuk lamed. The pasuk says that shabsoisai tishmoiru, that you shall keep my Shabbos. Now, the pasuk is already before in the beginning of Kedoshim also brought down the idea of Shmiras Shabbos, and over there the pasuk Rashi explains that the pasuk was trying to tell you that for all mitzvahs, even the mitzvah of Moira, it says that you should ishi mevavim tiro, but nevertheless, as Shabsoise tishmoiru, that you still have to keep the Shabbos, because the Shabbos is ani Hashem alekechem, is by Hashem, and if your parents tell you to desecrate the Shabbos, don't listen to them, because Hashem is alekechem, both of your parents, and therefore Hashem tells you to keep Shabbos, you have to keep it. In a similar way, the pasuk is going to talk about the specialty of the Beis Hamikdash. Rashi is going to explain, as Shabsoise tishmoiru, you must keep the Shabbos, umikdashi tiro, you need to fear and behave in a way, a respectful way. Rashi will explain what it means to be yira for the mikdash, not to walk in with dust on your feet, and not to behave in a disrespectful way, to be in a way of tiro. And the Torah is saying that still, Shabsoise tishmoiru, no matter, and notwithstanding that mikdashi tiro, that Hashem demands yira, fear, and awe, respect for the Beis HaMikdash, but yet the Beis HaMikdash does not override the Shabbos. Shabsoise tishmoiru, you must keep the Shabbos, and the mikdashi tiro, because ani Hashem, I am Hashem. We'll see in the Rashi. So Rashi first explains why, what does it mean that you should be tiro, you should have yira for the mikdash. So Rashi, lo yikonis b'makloi, one is not permitted to go in with his stick, ubimin oloi, and with his shoe, and also b'apundosoi, and that's with his kind of a wallet that is girded around him. It's called a pundosoi, which is ubaavak shal raglov, or with dust that's on your feet. That's even without the shoe, which is the Gemara in Yevamos Davavim and Beis. These are all matters which shows a disrespect for a holy place, for a sanctuary, for a sanctified place. So for the Beis HaMikdash, you need to have yira, not to walk in with sticks, shoes, or apundosoi, but rather in a respectful way. And the Torah therefore connects also to Shabbos. V'af al pishani mazir chamal HaMikdash, although I am warning you for the Mikdash, that you must have yira and behave in a honorable way. So one may think that, okay, so the Mikdash is so important, it should even override the building of Shabbos. So he says, as Shabsoise tishmoiru, that my Shabbos you shall keep, that ein bis Hamikdash doiche Shabbos, that the Beis Hamikdash does not override the Shabbos. But it seems a little bit, we already learned it basically in the parshas before, when Bayakil Moshe, so it says the right in the beginning, it says the mitzvah of Shabbos, before he tells them to build the Mishkan, and then he says that it doesn't override the Shabbos. The same thing is before that, in the parshas before Vayakil, it also talks about the mitzvah of Shabbos to tell you that it doesn't override the Shabbos. And this seems to talk specifically about the Mikdash, about the future. The Poetry uses the lashon of Mikdash, Mikdashi tiro, although Mishkan ikre Mikdash, Mikdash ikre Mishkan, but soon seems like the specifically, the not that those psukim were talking about that one time that the construction took place in the building of the Mishkan, but here we're talking about the Mikdash in the future, that in Binyan Beis HaMikdash Doich HaShabbos. It says Binyan Beis HaMikdash, so it seems that we're talking about the actual Beis HaMikdash, and maybe there's a need for another Pasuk, because the Mikdashi Tiro, maybe because it's more permanent, so there's more level of year to look it up, but the pasuk here is talking, Rashi says, by the binyan Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. So now the pasuk says, continues further with the different mitzvahs. Al tifnu el ha'oivis ve'el ha'yidoinu. Do not turn towards the oivis and the yidoinim. These are different types of sorceries. There's a sorcery type of oivis in which they would bring up the dead, and from under his armpit, the dead would be speaking and telling them things, or through sorcery. Or yidoinim is like they put a bone from an animal known as yudua, and they put that bone into their mouth, and the bone sort of speaks. The Torah is saying to you, don't turn after these types of sorcery. Now, in this particular case, we're not talking about this pasuk, as Rashi will say, about the person who is seeking advice from the Ovis and Yidoinim, but we're talking about people who are becoming Ovis and Yidoinim, that they practice Al Tifnu, don't turn and practice this El Ha'ovis Vela Yidoinim, and to be of those who do the Ovis and Yidoinim, as we've seen Rashi, because the prohibition, the warning against doing that for ordinary, for a person seeking advice by them, is actually a pasuk in Devarim, where the pasuk talks about it. But here we're talking about the people practicing Ovis and Yidoinim themselves. The punishment for practicing, the pasuk says later on, is actually the death penalty for practicing Ovis V'Yidoinim. The one who seeks counsel, advice from the Ovis V'Yidoinim, his punishment is Malkus. Al tifnu al Ovis v'la Yidoinim. Don't turn and don't become like the Ovis and the Yidoinim. Al tevakshu l'tomo v'hem. Do not seek to defile yourself and them. And as Rashi will explain, the person is not seeking to defile, he is seeking their guidance, and that will cause him to become defiled by them. So the pasuk has to be read, Al tevakshu, don't seek them, because l'tomo v'hem, you will become defiled in them. And the Torah says, look, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm God, your God. Why are you exchanging and going after the sorcery, trying to look for other things when I'm God, your God? That's how Rashi explains the Ani Hashem Elokeichem in this pasuk. Let's do the Rashi. Al tifnu el ha'ovis. Don't turn to the oivis. So Rashi says, Azhora, this warning is lebal oivi yidoini. That's for the one, the master, one who masters to become an oivin a yidoini, that they shouldn't be. This is the warning for that. And Rashi says, what is the bal oiv? What is the master of oiv? Ze pisoim hamedaber mishechyei. Pisim is the name of that sorcerer who speaks under his armpit, which means that he brings up like somebody from the dead who can speak through his armpit. The Yidoini is Hamachnis Etzem Chaya, one who puts in a bone of an animal, Sheshmo Yodua, whose name is Yodua, L'Tech Piv. It's called Yidoini on the name of that bone that comes from the level from the animal Yidua. Va'etz medaber, and that bone speaks. This is an Hedrin Samachemet Beis. So both of these particular sorcerers, the Torah says, you cannot do those things. And then the Torah says, Al tevakshu, do not seek. Zakrashi, liyois asukimbam, do not seek, don't occupy yourself with them. She'im ta'askubom, because if you do occupy yourself, atamatamim lefonai, then you become defiled before me. So it's not al tevakshu l'toma, don't seek to become tome, don't seek them, because then you become tome lefonai. Vani metayv eschem, and then Hashem says, I will be abominating you, becoming disgusting to me. So therefore, don't become tome, because through seeking them. The pasuk says, "Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am God, your God. Du'u, you shall know as me, atem machlifim b'mi, who you're changing with whom. I am Hashem Elokeichem, and you're changing me for this oivi yidoni." Pasuk Lamed Beis, Pasuk says, Mipnei Seva Tokum. Seva means for an older person, one needs to get up. Get up is a sign of respect. But then the Torah also says, V'hodarta, you should give honor to Pnei Zoke in the face of an elder. It almost seems a redundant, we just said, for an elder person. But Rashi translates that the word Zokain means a person who acquired knowledge. Zokain doesn't mean just an older person. Seva means old age. Zokain has also the connotation of a elder person that has acquired knowledge. And the Pasuk, according to Rashi, is coming to qualify in saying Mipnei Seva Tokum, that for an older person you stand up, that is provided that is a Zokin, that Vodarta Pnei Zokin. We'll see the Rashi. V'yareiso Meili Kecho Ani Hashem. And Rashi will explain that the honoring the face of the elder is not just by getting up. That was the first tokum, that was by Seva, but Vadarta Pnei Zokin refers to not sitting on his place and not contradicting him. But the Torah, as Rashi earlier said, that wherever a person can claim Rashi says there that whenever a person can claim that he didn't mean, he didn't know, Davishta writes, you should fear God because he knows the truth. In this case, a person can pretend that he didn't see the elder or he didn't get up, and for that, so the Torah said, Vereisa Melekecho, be afraid of God. Hashem knows, Ani Hashem, I'm God. Let's see the Rashi. Mipnei Seva Tokum, Zokt Rashi, that Yochel, that you might think, Zokin Ashmai, that maybe even if you have an elder who is an Ashmai, maybe he's a Rosha, or an ignorant, Talmud Loimar, the Pasuk is Zokin. So it says later on, Zokin. But the meaning of Zokin is Ein Zokin El Shekona Chochma. That a Zokin means one who acquired Chochma. The Gemara Gedushin Lamed Beis, Amed Beis. Over there, we find in the Torah many times, as Isfali Shivim Zikanim. Zikanim Dorten, the Zikne Yisrov, Vekedaita came, Zikne Yisrov, Vesheitrov. Over the Lashon of Zikne is also some people that acquired wisdom and they are knowledgeable also. But one can say, one can ask, it would seem, that Mipnei Seva Tokum is a very specific command, getting up. By the Zokin, we have an additional command of Vahadarta. How do we know that maybe for the elder, you just have to get up? Besides, in Halacha, it's brought down that you have to get up for any elderly person. But Rashi, where Rashi brings down over here, that Yochel Zokin Ashmai Talmud Leimar Zokin, that no, that only a Zokin Zokin Shekola Chochma. But the Zokin is more than Tokum. The Torah adds, Rashi learns that it's a qualification. L'chayre, then why did the Torah have to write, according to Rashi, Mipnei Seva Tokum? Torah should just write Vadarta Pnei Zokin. The tokum comes out a specific way that the Torah requires to be mahadarim. So if it just says vadar tepnei zokin, you didn't know getting up. Getting up, the Torah tells you, is part of the vadar tepnei zokin. And the mipnei seva, we learn what is in the pshuto shel mikra machriach. Why can't we learn mipnei seva tokum anyone? We should say that the din of Darta is only for a Zokin Shekona Chochma, and the din of Tokum is only Pnei Seva. Alright, we'll go weiter. But Darta Pnei Zokin, Zokt Rashi, Ezehu Hidur. What does it mean you should honor him through Mahadir? Rashi lo yeshiv b'mekoymei, not to sit in his place, lo yistur his dvarav, and not to contradict his words. Okay, the Rashi yochel yatzim einav k'mishe leirehu. But you know also you have to stand up in front of him. Rashi is adding hadarta more than the tokum. Tokum means to get up. Vahadarta is also the added things. So since you have to get up, one can close his eyes, make him pretend that he doesn't see him. Lekach ne'emar, that's why it says, V'yareisa me'likecho, that you shall fear your God. Meaning that this is something which Hashem knows. Sharedover zemosur lelibi shelo yiseyu. This is something which is given over to the heart of one who does it. Shein by makir by Elohu. Nobody knows but him. He doesn't know if he saw him, he didn't see him. V'chol dover amosur leleiv, and anything which is given over to the heart, ne'emar boy, v'yareisa me'likecho, says you should fear God. Rashi's already said the same similar thing before, that whenever there is a situation where one can argue that he didn't know, he didn't see, so it says,